Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, Harvard speech and language pathologist and author, Rebecca Rowland.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Bryn Ryan Van Dyke. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I had something amazing happen to me on the way to this show, and it was the perfect show to have it happen. It's been about, I don't know, a few years since I've not only changed cell phones, but completely changed type of phone and operating system and everything. And for some reason, with my travels and with my other responsibilities and all that, the perfect timing was to do it last night, which means that I spent hours into the night trying to get it all backed up and et cetera, et cetera. And then spent hours this morning, along with everything else I had to do, trying to figure out how this phone works. And while also trying to connect with our guests and performance guests and pre-show calls and da-da-da-da-da, and not knowing how to actually make a text or even make a call on my phone. And I could tell that there was a little bit of stress level on my part. And I could also tell that, thankfully, some of my tools were kicking in, saying, okay, I got this, and I know, and if I really don't get it right now, that's okay. I'll just use this other phone, or I'll just connect via email. So I had other possibilities I could use in order to get through this day, in order to get through the show and all the things I had to do. And yet it was still very stressful. And potentially I could have called the company. Potentially I could log in on look online. Potentially I could ask a friend, how do I do this? But I didn't have the time for it. So what I'm saying is that here I am, an adult, And I'm fairly savvy in technology enough, and still my stress level was going up just on this one change in my life. And my tools, thankfully, I have that I was using to help mitigate that. Now, getting ready for the show, I was thinking, what if I were a kid? And yeah, actually, the phone thing isn't a problem with the kids, so that's not an issue. But other things in their lives that are new, that are changed, that they don't know that they have ways of mitigating this, or they might not actually have tools yet to mitigate. And the stress levels that they could go through, it really painted a picture of probably moments that happened throughout the day for a lot of kids. So I can't wait to get into this show with our guest, Dr. Rebecca Rowland, and talk about how we support children and speak to children, and how we help children grow up to be creative and kind and courteous with curiosity and creativity, etc. And a little later on, looking forward to our performance guests, Bryn Ryan Van Dyke, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence. nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on the Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio. This is our episode number 700. We've titled it The Simple Keys to Nurturing Kindness, Creativity, and Confidence in Kids. I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, online with our producer, executive producer, and co-host, Mark Lejeune.
I think you should just gamify the whole process. I was thinking, listening to you, and there is. There's Lifeline, like, you know, maybe there's a Call a Friend. You did that one. You know, there could be just a random guess. You know, there's that one. So we will just have to think of a whole host of support tools that will make it that much more enjoyable.
The phone process for adults, the kids don't need that, but the kids need so many other things.
Well, and this is true.
We can gamify what the kids need. Actually, they have gamify for everything else.
Exactly.
So, well, let's see what our guest has in store for us. She is, first and foremost, a mother of two. She is a Harvard speech-language pathologist, and she is author of The Art of Talking with Children, The Simple Keys to Nurturing Kindness, Creativity, and Confidence in Kids. Welcome, Dr. Rebecca Rowland, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. You know, as I'm reading that mouthful of a title and subtitle, that's a tall order.
Yes.
All of it. I mean, talking with children, tall order.
Definitely. I agree. It's been a long journey of working on this book and this approach, for sure.
So the first question I asked you, or the second or third, but it was the first question in my mind when you and I spoke prior, while I was trying to figure out my phone. Oh, how did you like that, by the way?
I thought that was great. I really think that's a perfect analogy, because I think so often kids are experiencing things like that all day and they don't necessarily know how to talk about it. And we don't always recognize it for what it is. So I think that can create a really big spiral where our kids are kind of getting stressed. They might start acting out. Then we respond to them acting out without necessarily noticing, and kind of on and on. So I do think helping them even recognize what is the problem, what are they experiencing, is so powerful. So I think that was a perfect analogy.
So going with that, what are some analogies that we as adults might not think? Like the kids, when we hand them a phone and they know what to do with it nowadays, right? Right. And the adults are stressed, right? What is the opposite analogy where the kids are having something and the adults don't understand what's the problem? Like, why is that a problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what I see is actually that kids are, especially younger kids, but all kids sometimes are living in their own mental and emotional spaces, and they don't always notice or even care necessarily when the adult demands come on them. So for example, my five-year-old son, you know, he'll talk to himself. He's building a huge Lego construction or a marble run, and there are people, and there's fighters and warriors and everything. You know, and we say, put on your shoes. You know, he's like, wait, what? You know, and for him, that he was completely immersed in that imaginary world. And so when he says, like, what? I don't know. And you say, well, it's time to go. You know, didn't you know it was time to go? And for him, it's not malice. It's not even that he was ignoring you. It was simply that he was so immersed in this whole constructed imaginary space that it's really hard to pull out of that. So I think as parents or caregivers or teachers, if we can just recognize, you know, sometimes kids are not trying to be oppositional or trying to push buttons. They may just be really unaware of kind of our own agendas when they conflict with theirs.
Wow. And so to quote unquote discipline them when they don't even know that they did something wrong is like the first thing we don't want to do.
Exactly. I really do think about if discipline, quote unquote, as learning. So if there's something kids need to learn in a circumstance, you know, maybe a child does need, you know, a timer or some kind of visual to say, okay, you know, there's going to be 10 minutes. You can watch it. You can glance at it occasionally. And when it beeps or when the sand runs out, that's when the shoes have to go on, you know, some kind of preparation. And that actually would build skills and would bring you closer to the child. So I think so often we do that kind of discipline focused on trying to fix the behavior without actually realizing that we're not fixing much of anything. And we're kind of creating the same situation potentially the next time.
Wow. So back to the question, the first question in my mind was, there are books that I'm aware of and people that talk about these kinds of things that haven't reached the same kinds of conclusions that I am seeing presented here through you and in your book. And so I asked you, you've done the same course of study potentially that these others have. So how did you come up with something creatively different?
Yes, I think there's a couple of reasons. So first is I think that I was living this as I was learning about it. So I had my first child actually while I was getting my doctorate at Harvard. And I had my second child while I was teaching at Harvard and doing this research. So for me, it's always been a journey, not just of learning what's out there in the abstract, but really living it myself and saying, well, I have to be humble. Is this something that I see in the lives of my kids or the kids' friends, you know, friends that I know of, or even people I've worked with as a speech language pathologist. So that's one, is I think it's just really lived experience combined with the research. And I think number two is that I've always been much more of a creative writer. So I've written books of poetry and I'm working on novels and things like that. And so I really do appreciate sort of the creative potential of language. And I love to listen to kids and think about how their imaginations are working. And I love to think about how can we expand on those imaginations and how can we explore what they're thinking. And so many books and parenting books, especially, I found with the best of intentions, don't necessarily take that creative or playful approach. So this is what I wanted to bring to the table.
So kind of like what Mark was saying at the beginning of the show, gamifying. So in a sense, you storyified.
Exactly. Exactly. My whole book is filled with stories of when I tried things, when it worked, when it didn't work, and when I sort of had aha moments throughout throughout my parenting life and my work as a speech pathologist also.
Wow. So could you give us an example? Because I'm getting the sense that when one knows these tools, and when one thinks or is sharing them, and then they're not followed to the T. And I get that when I'm coaching and I see it's like, okay, well, we've talked about this. But with a child, it's completely different. Talk to us about that.
Definitely. Yeah. So I found for sure that sometimes I've wanted to do something where I've had an idea about teaching something and it's gone exactly the opposite as I wanted it. And at the same time, I think what's been so fun is that I've had these kind of moments as I've lived with my two kids, where I've had these sort of aha moments or ideas that come to me because I need them at that moment. So just one example is that my daughter, actually, when she was in preschool, the teacher said she had a lot of trouble admitting any kind of mistakes. So she would blame other kids for her own mistakes, or, you know, if she fell down, she would say someone had tripped her, something like that, when it wasn't true. And so they said to me, you know, can you talk to her about this? And like, can you try to help her kind of take ownership of her own mistakes. And I said, well, sure, I can talk to her about it. You know, I'm not sure how well that's going to go, but we can try. And I did sort of initially have that talk, you know, and said, oh, I've heard this, and just sort of the standard, like, oh, that's not really the best thing to do. And she listened and said, okay, but it didn't really change anything. And then actually one day, it was really funny. I had come home from work and I'd forgotten my umbrella and it was pouring rain. And she looks at me and she says, wow, you are completely wet. You know, what happened? And I said, oh, you know, and I had this idea. I was like, oh, I made a mistake. I forgot my umbrella and this is what happened. And actually, you know, I learned something from it. I learned that I probably need to check the weather a little bit in the morning before I go out because I was totally unprepared. Wow. And actually what was really funny is I decided at that day that at dinner, we would all mention some sort of small mistake we had made and talk about kind of what had happened, why it might've happened, and kind of optimistically, you know, what we might do in the future to avoid that mistake. And actually what was really funny is it was not an immediate aha. So she still said she didn't have any mistakes. You know, I was like, oh, okay, well, fair enough. And so that was fine. And I just kind of modeled it. My husband had one and we did this for a couple nights and then I just let it go. And she actually came to dinner and she said, well, what's your mistake? I need to know your mistake. And actually at that point, she started adding her own mistakes as well. So it is that gamifying thing I think you're talking about is we actually had fun with it. So rather than saying, oh, it's really serious to make these bad mistakes or, you know, very worrisome, we're actually playing around with the idea that we're all human, we all make mistakes, and we all need coping strategies and strategies to fix things in the future.
So you... I love that example actually, and you talk about talking with children, you talk about listening to children, and when you tell us about listening, could you start with what listening actually means?
Yes. So I do think we often think we're listening and we're not really truly deeply listening or listening reflectively. And what I mean by that is we often are kind of nodding our heads, but we have another point we want to make. We want our children to get to the end of what they're saying so we can counteract it, you know, or we have something else we want to get to and something like that. So what I mean by listening is really this fuller presence where you're actually sitting with someone, you're allowing their thoughts to kind of take their fullest form. You're not, you may be interrupting, but if you're interrupting, it's really to add an idea or to encourage them or to expand on what they're saying rather than cut them off and kind of go in another direction. And by doing that, it's so powerful because even in small doses, kids who hear that, they really feel as if, okay, I'm being seen, I'm being heard. My parent or my caregiver, or my teacher, they're interested in me and what I have to say. And what's even more powerful is that by learning these skills, they're actually learning to do this for others as well. So they're actually learning to have that kind of presence, you know, for their friends, for their family members, and for you. So I think that so often we fail to really do that in a way that's kind of fuller presence. And we think we have to be there all the time. So I think we can do this in smaller chunks, but really actually sit and listen.
When is the best time to have a conversation with children?
So
Rebecca, I'm assuming, I mean, you could talk to them throughout the whole day, but I'm assuming when something important has to be said or done, right?
Yes, yes. And so I think for me, what I found with all the different families and family configurations I've worked with is honestly that whatever the best time is the time when your family feels most relaxed and most at ease with each other. And so I've had so many people say, well, is it dinner time? Should we all sit around and have dinner together and talk? And I think for some families, that's a perfect time because you do have that, you know, after work or after school time to all be together and talk with one another in sort of a more relaxed way. But at the same time, I've seen other families who say, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on us because, you know, sometimes one kid has after school practice or one parent isn't home or it's a single mom and she needs to work late. And so to say dinner time is the time for a conversation doesn't work for them. And so I think the point is, it's more about the emotional side of things. You know, what time for your family does it feel like all of you are relaxed, all of you are receptive? And maybe that's an after dinner walk. You know, maybe that's right in the morning before you all go out. Whatever it is, I think it's really noticing that for your family first.
So that everything I'm hearing so far applies to everybody, adults, teenagers, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think, and actually what's really funny is so many people who've read this book have said to me, oh, this book, you could have titled it The Art of Talking with Anyone, because I do think actually it's so applicable to adults. And so many of us, especially now, are having struggles with communication. So I think it is really applicable to anyone.
So many of us, or maybe even the majority of us in the world, have experienced so much negative change and change in general in the past several years, as we know. And interestingly, your book was written just prior to the stay-at-home time, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I think that's what's so funny is actually I planned this book and proposed it before the pandemic started. And as I was nearing the end of my revisions, that was really the peak of being at home and staying at home with my own kids and knowing lots of other families who are experiencing the same thing. And I'm actually really grateful that the book came out at this time, because I do think that conversation with kids has always been important, but now it is just really important. I think so many kids are feeling disconnected. They're feeling as if they're behind in social skills. You know, they're feeling anxious or stressed. And so many parents are feeling that way too. And so I think if we are trying to figure out, well, how can we have conversations that bring us together and that bond us, this is a really important way forward.
So with all the changes going on outside of us in the world and inside of us with our fears or trepidations or unknowings of the future and all that, and also within our immediate environment where potentially a parent might come home in the middle of the day and the kids were at school and they might have a moment to themselves, or the kids come home and they're by themselves because mm-hmm. the parents are at work. There are so many situations right now, still today, and potentially will be more going forward, where one parent is at home or both are at home or everybody's at home, right? Mm-hmm. Or the kids are doing homeschool, right?
Exactly. And I think that that's what's the opportunity and the challenge. I think if we can get these kind of conversations right and we can support kids and support us in having them, we realize how powerful they are in shifting the family dynamics. So I think kids are thriving more. You as a parent or a caregiver are thriving more. And it really is kind of a win-win situation for everyone. At the same time, obviously, being around each other more, you know, having that, all of those changes means that it is important to notice everyone's needs and to talk about them. And I think if we don't do that, and we just say, well, let's just keep going on or let's push it under the table, sometimes we do see a lot more stress and anxiety and sort of irritation on everyone's parts.
So something as simple as, say, mom worked out of the home all day and then the kids would come home, and when mom would come home, then she'd dedicate so much of her rest of her day or evening to the kids. Now, if the kids are home and they see mom home, they might think that, oh, mom's home, we get all day with mom, when right. mom's actually working at home. So there's a conversation.
Exactly. And I think that that's what's so important, is to really think of those conversations as things that need to be shared and kind of voiced in terms of every person's feelings and kind of making those shifts explicit. I think without that, it can be so easy to just slip into patterns and habits and kind of irritation without even recognizing it. You know, the mom could feel like, oh, I'm annoyed because I need to work and yet my child doesn't see I need to work. And I feel even guiltier because I need to be always with my kids and so on. So I think to break those spirals, and to even say, you know, it's important to create those boundaries, to say, I will be with you, you know, my full attention in X number of minutes, you know, for this number of minutes, I need to do this. So let's think about something you can do independently. And just making that clear to kids, I think, does really help, especially if kids are feeling, oh, is my parent rejecting me? Are they not interested because they're not paying attention to me? I think the conversations make it much more clear that, you know, we do care. It's just that there are other priorities as well at play.
And then to make sure that we honor that commitment as much as possible. And again, that applies to everybody, so that then we're trusted and we could breathe easier when we're told it'll be an hour from now, and because it probably really will.
Exactly. I think, yeah. And I think to have that knowledge and expectations, I think a lot of the stress comes from not knowing, you know, will my parent be available in 5 minutes or in 2 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. Or ever.
Right.
So yeah. The simple keys, well, in their mind, right?
Yes. Oh, exactly. No, I know.
So we've titled the episode again, The Simple Keys to Nurturing Kindness, Creativity, and Confidence in Kids. That title comes as part of a subtitle to The Art of Talking with Children, as we're talking with Dr. Rebecca Rowland. So the question is, I don't know about the simple part, but I believe that we can. I mean, I want to believe. Help me believe. How do we develop creativity, kindness, curiosity, and all of this creativity and confidence in kids simply?
Yeah. So I've developed a framework that tries to make it simple. I know that obviously the overall process might not feel simple when you do it, but so what I've developed is what I call the ABCs of rich talk. So really it just stands, ABC each stands for something. And the idea is to keep in mind these three things when you're talking with your kids as a way of making it simpler. So the first is A, which stands for adaptive, meaning that you're just kind of going with your child's mood, with their temperament. You're basically figuring out when is the best time for you to have conversations and when is the best time for them. And the B is back and forth. So that really just means making sure that there's kind of a balance between how much you're talking and how much your child is talking. It's not always going to be equal, but at least making sure that there's not sort of very much one-sided, you talking at your child. And the C is child-driven, meaning just that taking the time to make conversations based on what the child is interested in, is worried about, or excited about. And those conversations are much more likely to really motivate kids to talk more. So the ABCs of rich talk is the attempt to make it as simple as possible.
So it also, I'm getting a sense as you're sharing this, that some of this is inherent in the kids, maybe contrary to some people's belief, that they are already curious. They are already kind. They are already creative. I don't know about the confidence, but we see kids doing nice things for each other. We see kids being, when left to their own devices, unless there's a problem, right? So with your ABCs, you're working with all of that as well, it feels like.
Exactly. Yes, it does really take an optimistic and kind of positive approach to children, because all of what I've read and seen is the sense that yes, kids are born wanting to communicate. They're born wanting to help. They're born wanting to create, to know, to learn. I think there was one study that showed preschool kids, I think, ask why questions about 93 times on average a day.
Wow.
Which I think is just like, wow, you can imagine, you know, if you have a preschooler, that's probably true.
So Rebecca, yeah. Why? Why do they ask?
Why? Because I think about kids as little scientists. They want to know the answer. And what's even funnier is that study also found that they ask even more if you don't answer.
Wow.
So if you don't sort of put the question off, they're going to keep asking the question often because they really want to know. You know, they want to know, why is this happening? Why is that happening? They're trying to figure out about their worlds.
And so it's not easy, I know, and I'm sure, more than I even know or can imagine, to have one child or two or more, especially if there are even children with special needs in the house or their friends. And if they're all doing their natural why or what have you, that's hard on a parent, on a person. And if it's understandably that one can get frustrated, if one gets frustrated, then the child doesn't understand because they're doing their why thing because they want to know.
Right. And but I do think there are, I agree with you. I think also there are things that parents can do if they are getting frustrated, because it's true. It's impossible to answer 93 why questions per day. You know, if you have multiple kids, if you have things happening. And so there's a couple of strategies I've used to help with that.
Let's hold the answer to that for when we come back. I am so glad you have strategies for that. And are they in the book, by the way? I haven't seen that part yet.
They are.
Okay, great. So the book is The Art of Talking with Children. We are talking with Dr. Rebecca Rowland. And what a great conversation. You can go to RebeccaRowland.com. Rowland is R-O-L-L-A-N-D, RebeccaRowland.com. The book is available there. It's also available where books are sold online. We'll be right back with the answer to that question. And later on, we're going to have the Ask Dorothy segment. And then our performance guest, Bryn Ryan Van Dyke, will be joining us all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. This is our 700th episode titled The Simple Keys to Nurturing Kindness, Creativity, and Confidence. Our guest is a mother of two, a Harvard speech language pathologist, and author of The Art of Talking with Children, Dr. Rebecca Rowland. So, Rebecca, you were getting into what I believe this whole show was about for me, because I think I need this just in general, too, for helping share with some of the parents that I get to work with and relate with.
Yes, definitely. So I was talking about what to do if you feel a little burnt out from all the why questions or from just an overabundance of commentary questions and things like that. And I've had a few strategies I found to be really helpful and also can add some creativity to your life as well. So one of them is to really ask kids to just, if they have a ton of questions and they can write or draw, to write or draw each question or what would make them think of the question on a little piece of paper or post-it and put them all in a jar or a box. And then say at dinner time or bedtime, whatever time you have, the end of the day, we're going to take them out and you will go through, you know, as many as we can, or you can pick your favorite one, or, you know, we'll each pick one and talk about it, something like that. So that can be fun. Another is to think about, to ask kids, well, come up with all your questions, think of all your questions, and then come up with the two that you think are the hardest ones that I won't be able to answer, or the ones that are the most fun for you, or something like that. So you kind of are asking kids to think a little bit, and not necessarily just, you know, you're pushing them off a little bit, but with the idea that they're actually evaluating their own questions. So that actually gives them kind of some thinking time and some creativity while allowing you a little bit of downtime too.
Wow. And I like it. From what I know, writing the question down, that could help them answer their own questions sometimes as they're thinking about it, as they're writing down by putting it in a jar, and we'll talk about it later. That's also delaying gratification, which can be really good for kids as well. There's so much good here.
Mm-hmm, exactly. They might even realize they have different questions than they initially had. So all of it, I think, can be helpful.
Yes. Oh, and helpful. And if it's helpful to parents, it's helpful to everybody too. So we just have a minute. So within that minute, minute and a half, I want to go in depth on the seven pillars of, I'm just kidding.
I wish, yeah. If only were that simple.
Listen. So what is Rich Talk? And what we'll just mention the seven pillars.
Yeah, so Rich Talk is really the idea of how can we have these kind of intentional, meaningful conversations that build children's skills and that relate us. So I talk about kind of a double promise, meaning that first promise is that in the moment, you actually will get closer with your kids. And the second promise is that over time, these little moments accumulate into big changes and kids are developing all of those skills like kindness, confidence, and creativity.
So you're not saying like taking advantage of teaching moments or making every conversation a teaching moment, right?
Oh, definitely not. No, I think that's not sort of what I would want people to come away with. It's much more having conversations as an opportunity just to get to know more about each other's thought processes. So you can talk about, you know, whatever you see on the street. You can talk about, you know, what you're feeling that day. You can talk about what you had for dinner. To really focus on the back and forth and to exploring each other's sort of authentic thinking around that, rather than feeling like you have to sneeze in every moment and teach.
So the seven pillars: learning, empathy, social skills, confidence, play/creativity, openness, and temperament.
Yes.
So I'm just going to ask you about temperament and then we're going to have to go, but, I didn't expect that one there. I like it. I like it.
Yes. And I think why I put that in there is I think it's actually the last one. And I think for me, the feeling of temperament is that it really affects everything about our lives. So the way that you are as a person in terms of your temperament and the way a child is. And one thing I really want to emphasize, it's kind of counterintuitive, is we often think about, well, who are our kids? You know, what's their temperament like? But it's just as important or even more important. What is the fit between you and your child? You know,
are
how
you
is
in
your
that
temperament?
Moment?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You in that moment and your child in that moment.
Yes.
So actually thinking about that back and forth play, the interplay between you is even more important than thinking kind of about your child in isolation.
Wow. Oh, gosh. Okay. So that's the section in the book I'm definitely going to want to read. The book, The Art of Talking with Children, The Simple Keys to Nurturing Kindness, Creativity, and Confidence in Kids, Dr. Rebecca Roland. Rebecca, what a pleasure it has been. Thank you for writing this book, and thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I love the show.
It's our pleasure. I have a feeling we're going to want to check in again at some point, or there'll probably be another book, How to Talk with Adults.
Exactly.
All right.
Maybe one day.
All the best to you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Anna in Los Angeles. My question is, why does the media insist on flooding my news feed with pictures and articles on celebrities? I'm tired of reading about people I don't really care about. How can I just get regular, important news instead of gossip?
Dear Anna, my news feed used to do the same thing, and I just recently found out that I have options and am no longer constantly being fed articles I have no interest in. On my phone, when an article pops up, a line of three dots appear on the right side of the screen, and all I need do is click onto these dots, and I am given a list of options. These include not interested in this and manage your interests, among other options. And it is so easy to click on the option that best describes your desires. And dear Anna, it is important to understand that the articles that pop up are based on what you do click on and read. So you might wish to hit delete instead of continuing to read things you're not interested in. Another way you can get more news you are interested in is to get onto social media and subscribe to groups that are speaking your language. This will lead you to getting more of the news you wish to read. Our search engines tell our phones what we've been looking into, so be prepared to see articles on the things you've shown interest in. And again, you can simply click on Not Interested if and when the articles you don't wish to see do show up. If my suggestion doesn't work for you, give your carrier a call and let them assist you in making your phone experience more fun and rewarding.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance segment with Bryn Ryan Van Dyke on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a talk, music, and variety show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor and celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, business leaders, and children, we are here to inspire our audience to do life better. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show. As your life changes, we're here for you. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and I'm excited about our performance guest this evening, who is an alternative folk, pop, and storyteller. She is a singer-songwriter, and at the moment, calling in from Honolulu, Hawaii, it's Bryn Ryan Van Dyke. Welcome to the show, Bryn.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And aloha to you.
Aloha.
So, alternative folk pop, you're a storyteller, you got catchy hooks. Where did this all start for you?
Well, it started actually a number of years ago, and I was in Australia with some friends for New Year's Eve. And, you know, I looked up at the Southern Cross for the first time, and I'm like, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, but I did know that I didn't want to grow old and look back on my life and wish that I had done something that I really wanted to do. And you know, by then it would be too late. And I didn't want to have to live the rest of my life in regret that I was afraid. So I thought, well, shoot, in order to be really good at something, you have to really have passion for it. But the only thing that really moved me or gave me passion was music. So I'm like, I have to do something with that. But problem was, is I really couldn't sing. I think if you tried to pay me $1 million to sing in this one song throughout with the same key, I probably would have a hard time doing it. But wow. I thought, you know,
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, well,
you're a performance guest, by the way.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's been,
and we're not
while.
Paying you $1 million.
You are, but that is fine, because I just decided that by the time, you know, I would just go back. I believe in myself and I would say that I'm a singer, and then no one's going to give me a chance for a while. Right. So I'll just learn how. But I did get a chance almost as soon as I got back, and it just started a process for me. And I did start with a little band. I started to teach myself to play guitar, and this little band, whoever wrote the song got to sing it. So that's how I started writing.
Oh, wow. Wow. Talk about motivation. You know, the story of not living with regrets and going for what you have to do or want to do or feel is in your heart to do. It reminds me of something I read about your father and what he used to say to you. And I think that leads us into the first song.
Yes. Yes. So in 2020, was having some medical issues and just having some difficulty with treatment. But I, you know, started thinking back on my dad and just how brave he always was. He passed from cancer, but he was just super brave guy. And when I was a kid, he would always tell us nothing's really, really good or really, really bad for really, really long. Mm. And I'm like, huh, that could be a song. That could actually be a country song. And he always used to say, you know, so when there's something hard to do and you have a choice, just suck it up and do the right thing. So that is really what started me thinking about this song. And so I wrote it in 2020 and finished it in December and recorded it early in 2021.
Wow. Well, we're going to get to hear it here on the Life Changes Show. This is pre-recorded. This is our performance guest, Bryn Ryan Van Dyke, and her song, Go Long.
Do you listen to the voices in your head, even when what they just said, you don't believe it? Do you see it? Or let the doubts cloud your sight, keep you from taking flight? Do you listen? Voices saying, do easy, not hard. You all make the grave. There's a pearl there. Can you feel it? Buried deep inside, but you can make it shine. Do you listen? Voices saying, you're too old, not that good. Why don't you stay in your own lane? Are you insane? We'll suck it up.
Nice. Bryn Ryan Van Dyke, thank you for that, and congratulations to you. It's hard to believe, Bryn, that the words you have in your bio, I decided to start believing I could sing, figuring by the time I got a chance to, I'd learn. And to hear the song, more power to you.
Well, thank you
so much.
Thank you.
So you did it. You did it. Well, you're here.
It has taken a while. I want to say, you know, a long while, quite a number of years. But you know, it's been a great journey, and it's really, music has made my life really very interesting, and I appreciate every day of it.
Wow. Well, if you're enjoying what we're sharing here today, you can go to BrynMusicOfficial.com. That's her website, or find her on YouTube at Bryn Music Official. And Bryn is B-R-Y-N. Or you could go to streaming and Spotify. It's Bryn Music. Bryn, there's so much good here. By the way, the video of that song put a tear in my eye. A lot of... Wow. Wonderful moments in it. Very well done. The official lyric video for Go Long. Very nice.
Thank you so much. It was hip video promo. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing group of people.
Very well done. With the song and the lyrics and then knowing the story of your dad and all of that. Good on you. So this next song, I'm laughing because of what you said when you talked about the song. You said this next song is like a fantasy, and it's called Perfect World. And I'd like to think there's a possibility for what you describe in it. So tell us about the song.
Well, I think what the gist of this song is that maybe perfection is something we're always striving for. So even if something isn't necessarily perfect, you can help make it a little more perfect by just taking even a little step. So an act of kindness, or even something as simple as a smile, can change the course of someone's day.
Yes.
And, you know, just a little ripple, it spreads, and you may never really know how that one small act of kindness eventually affects people or the world as a total. I mean, I don't know how many people listening might have been in a really, really bad day or really bad mood, and somebody is nice to them or gives them a smile, and just changes their attitude, and that changes how the rest of their day goes and how they treat people.
Yep. Or listening to you right now on the show, or this song, and how this can help make somebody's world more perfect today. Here is our performance guest, Bryn Ryan Van Dyke, and her pre-recorded song, Perfect World, on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
Life is so tough, working hard every day. Weeks turn into years. It can feel like you can make it happen anyway. At least that's what we fear. But there are those among us now, need some help. Take a stand just by reaching out a hand. Intolerance and fear can freeze a heart. You'll be
difference. Don't know where to start. It can truly make you feel like you can't connect. Every storm starts with a breeze. Take a step and believe. Perfect world, all inclusive, six star perfect. Perfect world, peaceful, perfect, one terrific. Perfect world. It might seem it's just too late. Take a chance, love trumps hate. Start with one and then it grows larger than you'll ever know. And one flake start a ball of snow. That smile tells you so. Perfect world. Perfect world. One smile at a time. Peaceful, perfect, safe, successful. Oh, it's so serene. If only for a moment seems like a perfect, perfect world. All inclusive, six on the bed.
I like it. I like it. Thank you so much, Bryn. Bryn Ryan Van Dyke.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. So Bryn Music Official is her website. You can find her on YouTube at Bryn Music Official also. And Bryn is B-R-Y-N. And then on Spotify, Bryn Music. And her music is available all over. I have a feeling we're going to be hearing a lot more of it. And I look forward to it.
Thank Bryn, you so much for having you. Me. Really appreciate it.
It was such a pleasure, and all the best to you. Thank you for bringing your music to the Life Changes Show and our audience.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. So with that, that was Bryn Ryan Van Dyke. And again, a big thank you to our guest, Dr. Rebecca Rowland. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.